I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
Donald Trump, just last week, he confirmed to the National Review that he is again considering a run in 2016.
Donald Trump running for president.
Christianity is being chipped away at in this country, and I'm not going to let it happen.
You go to stores now, you don't see the word Christmas. It says Happy Holidays. Remember the expression Merry Christmas? You don't see it anymore. You're going to see it if I get elected, I can tell you right now.
Hillary can say you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day, and that's not acceptable.
I am looking to appoint judges very much in the mold of Justice Scalia.
We're going to protect Christianity, and I can say that. I don't have to be politically correct.
Here's the problem with political correctness. It takes too long. We don't have time.
It is time to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
The press has created a rigged system.
The economy is rigged. The banking system is rigged. There's a lot of things that are rigged in this world of ours. And then, of course, we have crooked Hillary.
She gets rich making you poor.
She is against the police.
I am the law and order candidate.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
And they're taking your jobs, and you better be careful.
The infrastructure of our country is a laughingstock all over the world. I'm going to make our military so big, so powerful, so strong, that nobody, absolutely nobody, is going to mess with us.
We are going to win so much. We're going to have win after win after win. You people are going to get sick and tired of winning. I don't care what you say. We're going to win. We're going to win. And we're going to win.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 12th month, the 25th day of the year 2016, and it's Christmas Day. Christ is truly born.
Hallelujah.
And don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly born. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him this morning. Now, I'm going to invoke the special help of the Holy Infant Jesus during this Christmas season. During this lecture, which I'm going to be making, which is a very important one. They're all important. But this is on the top of the list of one of the more important lectures I'm going to be making. So I invoke the assistance of the Holy Infant Jesus, our Blessed Mother, Mary, the Mother of God, St. Joseph, the Holy Family, St. Gabriel, the Most Glorious Prince and Heavenly Messengers, and all the angels and saints in heaven that can be of assistance to me. And the title of this Christmas season lecture, which is going to take place during this whole Christmas season, not during this one day, is titled The Trump Counter-Revolution and the Rigged System. And it's going to be in two parts. Part one is going to be the overview. Part two is the evidence. Okay? Now, we're going to start out with a fact that if anyone doesn't know it, in the whole world, they'd have to be either brain dead or otherwise not have the use of reason. Just recently, an outsider snuck under the radar and was elected as President of the United States of America. And that outsider is Donald J. Trump. How do we know he's an outsider? By all the vehement opposition he got from the insiders. Massive opposition. Okay, so now, who are these insiders? They're also called the establishment, or they're called the system. Okay, these insiders are most of the apostate Jews. Now, we read from the Pew Research Center on how the faithful voted. They say faithful, but how did the people vote according to religious affiliations? And this is from the Pew Research for the 2016 vote. And they say that the Jews who claim to be of the Jewish religion, 71% voted for Clinton and only 24% for Trump. So most of the apostate Jews are these insiders, and they control almost the whole world on top of it. Number two, the Freemasons, the major media, major financial institutions, most educational institutions, the military leaders under Obama, the prominent members and prominent ex-members of the CIA and FBI, Hollywood, and all the theaters on Broadway, and most of your prominent actors and musicians. These are all the insiders that were vehemently opposing Donald Trump. The most opposition I've ever seen any president-elect, or even when he was running for office, get was for the when he was running to win the primary, the Republican primary, and even the major election. He was resisted by all these people from all these sides. Now, there's one thing that all these insiders have in common, one way or the other. One, they're either extreme lefty liberals. Two, or they're globalists. And some of them are both, extreme lefty liberals and globalists. And most of your extreme lefty liberals are globalists, but not all your, some conservative people are globalists also. And three, they're all politically correct. And these are the people that were vehemently opposing Trump, and they still are, and they're going to continue to do so through his presidency, no doubt, as we see witnessing before us. Now, we're going to speak about the evil hierarchy in this world, how that hierarchy breaks down. I spoke of it many times in my other lectures, but I'm going to do a summary of it here. The evil hierarchy in this world, at the top of it is Satan, all right? He's the one who's the ruler of this evil world, all right? The evildoers in this world. Second is the Antichrist, who's going to be the one main evildoer that's going to have the whole world worship and serving him, almost the whole world. And under the Antichrist comes the Talmudic Jews. The Talmudic Jews are the ones that are actively on the top of that hierarchy and bringing the Antichrist to power. Then comes the Freemasons, right underneath the Talmudic Jews, who are doing most of the Gentiles that are doing most of the dirty work for the Talmudic Jews. And then lower down on that evil hierarchy, somewhere down, lower down on that rank, is the Mafia. Now, the Mafia are not really insiders in the true sense of the word. The Freemasons and Talmudic Jews that are running this world don't really want the Mafia to get too powerful and to come up too high. They sort of keep them down at a certain level. Well, this is where the Trump thing comes in, because he comes from the Mafia evil hierarchy. From that, he's in that arena of the Mafia. Now, he's not a Mafia man because he's not Italian. You have to be Italian to be part of the Mafia. But the Mafia has a lot of associates, and they have people that are related to them that help them do their work. They're called front men. The reason I say that Trump is a Mafia associate or very closely related to the Mafia is because he owns casinos. Nobody owns casinos unless they're working for or associated with the Mafia in one way or another. So he's coming from that lower rank of the evildoers. I call it the Mafia level. And they don't want him. He snuck under the radar and got in. They didn't want him in there. At all costs, they wanted to keep him down. Now, as we say here too, I just mentioned that Trump is, even though we're going to be talking about Trump in this lecture, I'll make another statement that all non-Catholics are evildoers. Every non-Catholic. All right? And Trump is not Catholic. And all non-Catholics, because they're evildoers, they're serving the Antichrist in one way or another, and they're helping to bring him to power in one way or another. But some people are bringing the Antichrist to power more than others. Some people are more evil than others. So Trump is not on the top of that evil hierarchy. He's in it, but not on the top of it. He opposes quite a few things that the Antichrist is doing, and that's why he's getting this opposition. That's why you see this blowback against him. Most of the things that he's doing that in which he's opposing the Antichrist is thwarting his plans. Not everything. There's some things that Trump does also in which he is supporting the Antichrist, but the majority of the things, he's not supporting the Antichrist and he's opposing her plan. So I'm not saying Trump is good in this, and he's not an extreme lefty liberal, but he is liberal still. Nevertheless, we're going to talk about that also. He's liberal on several issues, but he's still a liberal. Nevertheless, Catholics must have voted for and must support Donald Trump because of all the electable candidates during the presidential election, he promised Catholics the most religious liberty and is a lesser evil than the other electable candidates, which was Hillary Clinton, who's a real great evil, way more evil than Trump. We call her the Wicked Witch of the West. See my article, which is also in video, Catholics Must Vote for Trump in USA's 2016 Presidential Race, and my book, On Voting for the Lesser Evil. Now, Before we go any further, so you can understand more perfectly, more clearly, what's going on here with this opposition, we have to talk about, and we talked about the evil hierarchy, we need to know about the nature of the Antichrist, who the Talmudic Jews are bringing to power. He's mentioned in the scripture several times, and it says in the final days, the Antichrist is going to rule almost the whole world. And he plots and plans to get that world under his yoke so that almost every nation in the world, if not almost every nation in the world, is going to serve him. A couple nations are going to rebel against them. I went through that in other videos. But we want to concentrate right now on what is the nature of the Antichrist and what kind of people are going to be serving him. What kind of people are going to be bowing down to him because they're going to like him. And even if some people didn't like him in the beginning, they're going to do it just because he's in power and they're going to bend their will to his. Okay, so we're going to go over, before we get any further into this overview, a brief overview of the nature of the Antichrist. First of all, the Antichrist is a globalist. He's a globalist, all right? He wants to unite all the nations under him. So he has to get all these nations to come together, all right, and to worship him, all right? And he wants to have his home base in Israel, in Jerusalem, right in Jerusalem in the Third Temple, because he's going to try to imitate that he's going to say he fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. So he wants to show himself as the Christ, as the Messiah. So he needs to sit in the Third Temple in Jerusalem. He needs to occupy Israel. And Israel has to be totally under the controls of the Talmudic Jews. This is what he needs to do. Now, we read about the Antichrist ultimately when he comes to power. He's going to be sitting in that Third Temple and ruling the whole world as if he were God. So he's going to try to destroy all other religions except for his, which is a species of Talmudic Judaism. That's going to be his religion he's going to preach to believe in, a species of Talmudic Judaism, a liberal form of Talmudic Judaism. But we're going to read in the scriptures where it talks about this and was prophesied that he is going to rule almost the whole world and sit in the temple at Jerusalem. We read about that in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Now, no man deceive you by any means, for unless there come a revolt first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and is lifted up above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as if he were God. You can also read Daniel 11:36-37. It also relates to this. And he shall do according to his will, and the king shall exalt and magnify himself, this is the Antichrist, against every god, and shall speak great swelling words, and shall prosper until his indignation shall be accomplished, for it is coming to an end. So he's going to prosper until Christ destroys him in the end. And he shall not regard any gods of his fathers, the God of Israel, who is the God of the Holy Trinity. He's going to claim to be a Talmudic Jew, but it's a liberal form of Talmudic Judaism. So it's not even going to reflect what the God of Israel was preaching in the Old Testament. There's going to be conflicts. Neither shall he regard any deity, for he shall magnify himself above all, and he shall honor the God of the forces of his place, and the God of his father, whom his fathers knew not. He shall honor with gold and silver, precious stones, and desirable things. He shows himself as if he is God. He doesn't think he's God, but he wants you to believe that. He knows there's a God above him, and that's Satan, because he's in direct communication with Satan. So he believes Satan is God, and he idolizes money and power. All right? And we know from here already, this is just proven to you, his home base needs to be in Jerusalem so he can mimic the prophecies of the Messiah like as if he's fulfilling them. Now, in order for him to be able to rule almost the whole world, he has to be a globalist. Globalism, what does he do? He wants to unite all the nations. He wants to destroy national and racial identities, except for his national and racial identity, except for the Jewish race and the Jewish nation. That's the only one he wants to exalt. All the other nations, he's trying to merge them and try to destroy their identities. And he has to also get rid of all these other religions. Because if you're going to come to him as the only God, and his form of Talmudic Judaism is the only religion, he's got to eliminate all your religions. Other religions. He has to try his best to do that. And he does that first by merging the religions to religious indifferentism, getting people to think that all religions are the same. It doesn't matter what God you believe in. That's how he begins to get people to start forgetting about their own religions. That's part of his thing to get these religions together. But in his globalist empire, he needs to unite these nations and have them under him. That's why he supports the European Union. He supports even this North American trade agreements, which Trump is against, and the TTP, where they're trying to get all the Americas united under one government. The Antichrist is behind that. He wants to unite all these nations under one government, so when he comes to power, it's going to be easy for him to take over. Now, us Catholics aren't against one world government. We preach a one world government too. But we preach a one world government where Catholicism is a religion, but we don't destroy national or racial identities. Each nation or race has their own identity, but they're all Catholic under one Pope and one Catholic King, which is Christ. That's our ultimate goal, also, to have a one world government. But an Antichrist, because he's going to show himself as the Christ, he wants to have his one world government. So the globalist thing that he's pushing, the globalism, is absolutely necessary for him to try to get these nations ready to start accepting and to serve underneath him. So there's, now, we just read about in the scriptures about how if all the nations, I call these the gathering of the nations scriptures. We're not talking about the Indian nations around. They call it the gathering of the nations in New Mexico, these pagan Indians. They're still around, folks. If you think the pagan Indians left or not, they're all over the place, a bunch of pagan heathen slobs. It's disgusting to look at them even. There's still all the pagan, every pagan religion is back and forth in English, not just the Indians. All right, now let's get back on to show you about the gathering of the nation verses in the Bible, which teaches you that the Antichrist gathers all these nations and almost every nation is serving him. First, we're going to read in Apocalypse 13, 5 to 8. And there was given to him, the Antichrist, the mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given him to do 2 and 40 months. He'll be in total power for 3.5 years when he starts sitting in Jerusalem and ruling. He opened his mouth unto blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and to them that dwell in heaven. And it was given him to make war against the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell upon the earth adored him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, which is slain from the beginning of the world. That's Apocalypse 13, 5 to 8. Then we read Apocalypse 19, 19. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him and set upon the horse and with his army, with Christ and all the Catholics, all the faith that are left on there. He's making war against the Christ and Catholics. But he has all the kings of the earth following him. Another verse we have, I call the gathering verses, Apocalypse 16, 13 to 14. And I saw from the mouth of the dragon, Satan, and from the mouth of the beast, Antichrist, and from the mouth of the false prophet, which is most probably going to be a nominal Catholic pope who surrenders the faith over to the apostate Jews, 3 unclean spirits like frogs. For these are the spirits of devils working signs, and they go forth unto the kings of the whole earth to gather them to battle against the great day of Almighty God. And the last gathering verse I have here is Apocalypse 20 and verse 7. And when 1,000 years shall be finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go forth and seduce the nations that are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and shall gather them to battle, the number of whom is great as the sand of the sea. So he's a globalist. He wants to get the whole world under one government, so when he comes, it's going to be easy for him to bow down to him. He's a globalist. He's a one world government guy supporting it for his evil empire. What is another? That's an important trait of Antichrist. Second important trait is because he serves the devil, and the devil is his god, and he's the most evil person that ever existed in this whole earth. He's the most immoral person you can ever have. He's the personification as a human being of immorality, imitating Satan, who is the author of all immorality. So he is extremely immoral. So in this area, he appeals mostly to the extreme lefty liberals who are extremely immoral. These are the kind of people who are going to be running after him and just loving this guy. Okay, being that he's extremely immoral, all right, and this has been taught by the church fathers, it's in certain scriptures here, that he's going to be a homosexual. He's also a bisexual. He loves transgenders. And he even goes with animals, bestiality, all kinds of sex. Any sex, whatever you want to do. Pedophilia, you name it. He's the author of it. And he loves it himself. And that's just in the area of sexual perversion. He loves human sacrifices, murder, stealing, robbing, any type of sin you can think of. He's going to be the epitome of that as a human being, the Antichrist. So this is where the extreme lefty liberal agenda comes in. Because they're the people who are going to love this guy. They already love him. And they're going to just love him more when he comes to power. If Hillary got in, you would have had an example of this, which is right around the corner. You can just look at the Democrats sort of get an example of a prototype of what it's going to be like, how these extreme lefty liberals. For example, The Word of God speaks of the massive faithlessness and immorality in these final days. Jesus said, as recorded in Luke 18:8, "Yet the Son of Man, when he cometh, think he shall find you faith on earth?" He's saying, when I come, is there going to be anybody left on the whole earth that is faithful? St. Paul speaks of the massive immorality in these final days due to the great loss of the true faith, true Catholicism, by almost every person in the world. St. Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 1, and thus I call it the Romans 1 curse. "For this cause God delivered them up to shameful affections. For the women, having changed the natural use into that use which is against nature. And in like manner, the men also, leaving the natural use of the women, have burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working at which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which was due to their error. And as they like not to have God in their knowledge," the true Catholic faith, "God delivered them up to a reprobate sense, to do those things which are not convenient, but being filled with all iniquity, malice, fornication, avarice, wickedness, full of envy, murder, contention, deceit, malignity, whisperers, detractors, hateful to God, contumelious, proud, haughty, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, foolish, dissolute, without affection, without fidelity, without mercy, who having known the justice of God, did not understand that they who do such things are worthy of death, and not only they that do them, but they also who consent to them that do them." That's a perfect picture of the world today, the massive immorality the devil has heaped upon the world. Now, this was also first prophesied, and it also happened in the time of the Jews when they went bad. You can read the prophet Osee, who speaks to the Romans 1 curse. It's recorded in Osee chapter 4, verses 6 to 19. Again, Jesus tells us that so few people will be faithful and moral in these final days that he says it will be like the days of Noah, when only he and seven of his family members were saved. The rest of the whole human race was wiped out by the flood. Jesus said this in Matthew, as recorded in Matthew 24, 36 to 39. "As in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, even till that day in which Noah entered the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." So then, therefore, what are the plots of the Antichrist and the people on the top of the evil hierarchy that are serving him, most of the apostate Jews and then the Freemasons, are purposely infusing this world with massive sins of immorality to pervert the people and to get them ready to love the Antichrist. We read about this from the Catholic Gazette, February 1936, "The Jewish Pearl and the Catholic Church." And this is quoting from the Elders of Zion. This is them speaking. This is the top Jews that are running this world right now. This is one of their plans. "Therefore, we have tried to find the best way to attack the church in our very foundations. We have spread the spirit of revolution and false liberalism among the nations in order to convince them to move away from their faith till they are ashamed of professing the precepts of their religions and to obey the commandments of their church. We have been leading many of them so far as to convert them into atheists and even more to glorify themselves for descending from the monkey, Darwinism." They're the authors behind evolution, which is a big heresy. They don't believe in it, but they called all the non-Jews goy cattles. "We have given them new theories impossible to be performed as communism, socialism, anarchism, which are now serving our purposes. The stupid Gentiles have accepted them with great enthusiasm without noticing that these theories are ours and that they are the most powerful instruments against themselves." And we read from the Alta Vendita, the Carbonari. This is a group of the Italian Freemasons. "They say it has been decided in our councils that we must get rid of Catholics, but we do not want to make martyrs. So let us strive to popularize vice among the people. It must enter into their five senses. Let them drink it in and be saturated with vice. Make men's hearts corrupt, and you will have no more Catholics." This already happened. The people that are now proclaiming themselves Catholics, like Biden, they would let him get in the lodge tomorrow because he's not a true Catholic. He's a nominal Catholic. He's an extreme lefty liberal, and he's the guy they really love to have in the lodge because they can tell you, see, Catholics are still around. We don't get rid of all Catholics. They already did. We're the only Catholics I know of in the whole world. That's 12 people right here. We're 12 or 13 people. So Biden's not a real Catholic. They're already fulfilled this in the world that we're living in. He says, The Catholic Cassette, again, we're going to read from February 1936. And that Jewish Pearl article, where this is the Jews speaking, the top Jew, evil Jews. And the Gentiles, let them graze on our meadows of vice till they become fat enough, fatted with food, drink, and all vices to be sacrificed to our future king of the world, the Talmudic and Zionist Jews Antichrist. Let us intensify our activities, poisoning the Gentiles' morality. And of course, the Antichrist is serving the devil, whose immorality personified. If you looked at the devil, it's a definition of morality. The devil is the author of the beginning of it. And then the Antichrist is going to be the most evil and immoral man that ever existed. Now, with that in mind, we're getting a little picture of the Antichrist, the kind of people that are going to serve him, his nature. All right. We also learn about the Antichrist that he understands. He uses the United States and democracies. He doesn't like democracy. Why? Because he wants to be the king. We don't like democracies neither. Neither do I. Democracies we tolerate, but democracy is an evil form of government. It's not acceptable to God. God supports monarchies. Even there's no such thing really as a democracy. I don't want to talk too much about democracy now. We'll have a whole lecture on that. But he uses democracies to get everybody together, to neutralize races, to neutralize nations, to identities, and to neutralize religions. So he uses democracy. And that's what we call, and the Freemasons support this democracy, but even they know that democracy is only a front for them to bring the Antichrist. It's in the Freemasonic lodges. They consciously know that they're bringing the Antichrist to power in Jerusalem. They all know that, all the Freemasons. They lie about it. They're not all going to tell you the truth about it, but they're all doing that. And all the Freemasons, by the way, in their own things, they talk about bringing in feminism, homosexuality, drug addiction, marijuana. All this goes back to the beginning of Freemasons in the 1700s. Now, you might look back and say some of the early presidents in this United States were Freemasons seemed to be conservative and kind of moral. They really weren't. The only reason they were more appeared to be moral and conservative was because they wouldn't get the people to vote for them. You first need to get the people to be immoral, because if they're not, they're not going to vote you in as a president. So in the beginning, a lot of people can point back to, look at this president. He was so moral. He was so virtuous. He wasn't really. He was acting. He was lying to you. And, this, and while he was lying to you, he was secretly trying to pervert you a little at a time so he can get to the point where they can come right out, which is what they're doing right now, and support homosexualities, drugs, illegal drugs like marijuana, and feminism. But we know they were pushing feminism starting around at the end of the 19th century, really big time. It was really starting to be pushed by them. So it doesn't do you any good to point out an earlier Freemason who was lying to people because they knew he couldn't come out with his immorality publicly because he won't get elected. But my point on all this is the Antichrist is using these Freemasons and all these people to liberalize the world, to give this false concept of democracy, but he himself doesn't want to have this democracy. He doesn't like to have any other secret societies but his own, which is ruled by Talmudic Jews. So he doesn't even want to have the Freemasons around in the end. He wants to even destroy them. You can consider them like the harlot doing the dirty work for the Antichrist. So is the United States and a lot of your democracies in Western Europe are doing the work of the Antichrist. But the biggest harlot, the physical harlot, is the United States of America. The spiritual harlot is Rome. Rome is spiritually justifying Talmudic Judaism, Talmudic Jews. The United States is the main power base that's supporting apostate Israel, all right, and bringing the Antichrist to power through her physical power. But it says in the scriptures when he doesn't need the United States anymore, because they know because they're so used to democracy and they're not going to want to be serving any king. And he's a king and he knows that, so he's going to have to kill them. Once he's done using their democracy mentality, he's going to kill him. He's going to do away with him. So he wants to eventually get rid of the democracy mentality because he wants to be the king. He doesn't like democracy as a government. And he also wants to get rid of this democracy, which allows all these different religions. So he wants to eliminate that. All right. So right now he's using the harlot to his own purpose. And he doesn't want people who are not part of his inner society. Because, see, Talmudic Jews believe that they're human beings and all Gentiles are goy cattle. So they, even though they're using the Freemasons and the Christian Zionists are using them, they look upon them as a bunch of goy cattle. They're not even human beings. And they don't want them in the top of their hierarchy. So they're going to want to kill most of them, if not all of them, unless they serve him totally. But they're going to want to get rid of the secret societies. So it's in Scripture that eventually the Antichrist, to come to power, he's going to need to destroy the physical harlot, which is the United States of America, to totally come to power. Because if he doesn't get rid of it, and not just, once he gets rid of the United States, all the European democracies are going to fall too, because he's got to get rid of all these people that have a potential to rebel against him. Now, we read about this in the Holy Scriptures in the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 17, which talks about how the Antichrist is going to destroy the United States and Rome, which is a spiritual harlot too. He's going to destroy both, which I believe in one day, by limited nuclear attacks. And I'm not going to go over that too much now. You can listen to my lectures on that. See my lectures, Kidron Valley, and an explanation of Apocalypse 19, and an explanation of Apocalypse 13, and an explanation of Apocalypse 17, and an explanation of Matthew 24, of Mark 13, of Daniel 7, of Daniel 12, of Isaiah 24, of Zechariah 14, and the Antichrist is a Jew, and the reigns of the Antichrist and the two witnesses. These are mostly, they're in lectures, videos, and some are just in audios. And some, anything that I have that's in a video is also in an audio. But some of these are only in audio. But I just want to make one point here where it talks about how the Antichrist and these Talmudic Jews that are serving him on the top of the evil hierarchy are purposely and directly working towards the destruction of the United States. We're going to read about that in Apocalypse 17, 16 to 18. And the 10 horns which are sauce in the beast. All right. These are the European kings and all the other kings that are serving the Antichrist. These shall hate the harlot, the United States of America and Rome. But we're only going to talk about the United States here now, the physical harlot. And they shall make her desolate and naked. They shall eat her flesh. They shall burn her with fire. For God hath given into their hearts to do that which pleases him. And they give their kingdom to the beast till the words of God be fulfilled. And the woman which shall sauce is the great city which hath a kingdom over all the kings of the earth. That's the United States of America, who has power, is the most powerful country in the world, who spread her democracy, supported the beast. She's the only one many times who vetoes resolutions in the UN when they try to condemn Israel. The United States sometimes and many times is the only one who stands in to defend Israel. So you can see the harlot is supporting her whore master. She's supporting him. But then the whore master turns and flips the harlot. Knocks him off his back and destroys and eats her flesh. So they ultimately want to get rid of the United States. They want to destroy the United States. And how do they do this? How do they get in and destroy the United States? They first start weakening her. They first start making the United States weak. And the first way they did that was first by weakening the souls of men. Because once the souls of men, the more immoral you are, the more God curses you. Psalm 118:21 says, they are cursed who decline from the commandments. And the more you decline from the commandments, the more you become cursed. So people that are not, that are less immoral are not, they're still cursed, but they're not as cursed as people that are massively immoral. The more you become immoral, the more of a bigger curse you're under, and eventually God will destroy you and pull all his help away from you, then the devil has more power over you. You can trace the power that the devil has depending on how immoral you are. So the devil knows he needs to first get the people to become immoral. And then after the people are immoral and God pulls back almost all his protection from the people in the United States because they're extremely immoral, he then just sets out to physically destroy her. Then the physical destruction comes after the souls become imbibed with gross immorality. Now, when did this start happening in the United States in a big way? It's been happening in the 19th century, and since the beginning of the United States, they have little things that they try to get in their immoral, but in a massive way, which can be actually, is the 50s and the 60s. When you look at the 50s and the 60s, what went on in that period of time, it was unbelievable. It was like immorality exponentially grew. Feminism really took root in a big way. You had your evil rock and roll music. Not all rock is evil, but most of it is. A lot of it is, and rebellious. You had your hippie movement. You had your drugs. You had your marijuana people, you had your LSD, you had disrespect towards authority, riots and obstructive and abusive riots and protests in the street. You had all this stuff going on in the 50s and 60s. Pornography became massively present throughout the United States. Pornography, adultery, all kinds of sins started to become promoted in the 50s and the 60s. So the first thing that the apostate Jews and the Freemasons did, which already was in their plans, was to inject vice into the United States and make the people to the point so that they're so grossly immoral that they're under one of the biggest curses from God, and they're going to have less and less and less help from God to the point where God's going to barely help them at all. He's going to, and they have more, the devil has more power over them, and that's what you're looking at today. All right, as you've seen the progress on that. Then, after in the 50s and 60s, he's now got these gross sins of immorality and massive. You now have the formation of like these lefty liberals really in power with gross immorality in a big way in the 50s and 60s. Next step is, now we're going to step in and weaken the harlot physically so we can make her desolate and we can eat her flesh. Eventually burn her with fire, with nuclear fire. They're going to destroy the harlot eventually. But how did he make her naked? How did he make her desolate? By shipping out all the jobs from the United States of America, depleting the businesses, depleting the economy, depleting the military, undermining the military. All these things are necessary for them to make this harlot weak before they come in and take her over. They, in a big way, when they started to move jobs out of the United States and businesses out of the United States, was in the 70s when President Nixon and Henry Kissinger went over to China and made a pact with China. When they made that pact with China, they already knew what they were doing. Back then, even. They purposely knew. We're starting to set up the plan for downfall of the harlot. We're going to start. They even know. That's why they're so angry at Trump today. You sort of can get an idea of what's going on here because he wants to get these jobs back in here. That's been going on since the 70s. Then you got the NAFTA, North American Trade Agreement. Let the jobs go to Mexico. Now let the jobs go to Asia with the TPP trade agreement. So what do you do? It's insane, too, when you think about it. What Trump is saying on this thing is so 100% correct, it's even logical. And the lying bastard Obama, that real, he's like on the top of the hierarchy evil, and he's a big idiot, he's a dummy. How could you say that the economy's going good, we got jobs for people, when all the major manufacturing companies moved out of the United States? Who's going to give people jobs? These are the people that were employing the Americans. Not only was that making money for America and keeping it in America and employing Americans, now they're going to China, they're going to Mexico, and they're getting paid really low wages, slave wages. So when you do that also, you're supporting what they're supposed to be against slavery, right? And taking advantage of poor people. Well, the United States, they're supporting that, all right? And they're shipping, they're allowing the United States corporations and manufacturers to go into these other countries and move their businesses out because it's a lot cheaper. And then therefore, there's nobody working in the United States anymore. People are out of business. There's no more manufacturing. They're making the harlot desolate. Desolate of her businesses, desolate of her corporations, desolate with jobs. Also, what they do is they're ignoring the infrastructure. This is one piece of evidence you can look at that's manifest also, is they're ignoring the infrastructure in the United States. You know, they say that the infrastructure in Europe is so much superior to ours. Even Trump brings this point out. He's correct on this too. And he came out and said their airports are way better than ours. Do you know they say that all their electric lines are running underground now? So that if there's a hurricane or there's a big storm, no more electric lines go down in Europe. We still have the old electric lines that are running over out on the top, so that anytime we get a storm or something, the lines go down, and you got to keep going out and putting them back up. They go down, putting it back up, and we're an advanced country with all this money we have, and we're neglecting infrastructure. They do that on purpose. Why? Why pour money into a harlot that's going to be destroyed anyway in a couple of years? You're chasing good money, as the Jews would say, who are running the banking system, the Freemasons. You're putting good money after bad money. We're going to destroy this harlot anyway. I'm not going to invest any infrastructure in this United States. He's getting ready to be killed. It's like giving somebody a back operation who's got the death penalty. He's going to die the next day by hanging him. Why would you operate on his back when you're going to hang him the next day? You know, let his back stay busted. Let the infrastructure stay busted. That's part of their plan of making the harlot desolate and naked by depriving her infrastructure. You can just look at the difference between us and Europe on that issue. All right. How else did they do it? They undermine the military. You need to undermine the military. The biggest way, there's several ways. First of all, by not keeping up to date weapons, or like Trump just said recently, letting your nuclear stock that you already have become old, so that they're no longer useful, and they're not replenishing them and renewing them. So even the nuclear weapons we do have, that they need to be updated, and they're not being updated. So you neglect that, okay? Also, the worst attack against the military is by allowing homosexuals to serve in the military openly, and women, feminism, go in there and rule men. They're letting women go into the military and boss men around and be raised up to the high military positions. And they're allowing women to fight in military roles. That is a sure way of destroying any military. The morale, no real man. No real man will go into a military like that. So you're going to get a bunch of little offended people, a bunch of little fairy birds. And that's what they want. They want to gut the military. Now, if Trump is smart, and I think he's going to do this, he's not 100% on. We're going to go into that later on. He does support homosexuals. That's one thing he's really bad on. We're going to talk about that later. He doesn't support homosexual marriages, but he still nevertheless supports homos. We're going to talk about how bad that is later. But I still think even his generals that are surrounding him are going to tell him, you cannot allow homosexuals to be open homosexuals in the military. That's a disaster. Can you imagine working in the military? You got homos in the fox pit with you. They're in the thing. It's murder. You can't do it. Not only homosexuals, they got transgenders in the military. Transgenders. They had a thing on TV where you got these transgenders. We're going to show the evidence in part two. They got transgenders in the military. What kind of a military is that? The top Talmudic Jews that are running this world and the Freemasons are laughing all the way to the bank. And they're going, these stupid dopes, they're depleting the whole military. So he's already undermining the military. And again, Trump is opposing this. He will oppose this. I believe he will. Because if not him, at least the generals under him are going to push him. I think he's going to do that. Now, what else do they do to make the harlot desolate and naked? The United States. They murder and wound their own citizens. What you got to realize, and I said it many times about the Talmudic Jews, and all Talmudic Jews, it's in their Talmud. If you're a Gentile, you're a soulless beast. The Ten Commandments don't apply to you. They can break the Ten Commandments with you. They can fornicate with you. They can murder you. They can steal from you because you're not a human being. That's what they believe. Freemasons believe something very similar to that. When Freemasons take an oath, they believe that anybody who's not a Freemason is not one of them. And they're allowed to abuse them, lie to them, steal. It's the same kind of thing, only it's related to the Freemasonic club. So they got no qualms. They got no real national allegiance, only to the Antichrist and the Jews that are bringing Antichrist to power. That's their only real allegiance. So they have no qualms about killing their own so-called citizens because they don't really look upon you as their citizens. When you look at the things they're doing to their own citizens by the drug problem alone, when you've got drugs this bad in a country like we have and people are dying from drug addiction or they're becoming mentally ill or it's tearing up families, it's destroying people. When you have that happening to the degree we do, it has to be supported by the government. If the government wants to get rid of illegal drugs, they can do it overnight like Hitler did in Germany and that guy Duterte's doing in the Philippines. He's doing it the right way. And I think Trump is going to do it the right way too. I do think he is. I hope so. We're going to talk about that later. I think he does have a will to do. He said it, and I believe he does have a will to do it. But up to this point, even the Reagan and Clinton, they're all behind the drug thing. Even if Reagan comes out, we're against drugs, he's not. It's all wordplay. So they're letting the drugs come in here and kill black people in the inner cities. Kill white people. Kill people in the suburbs now. Killing their own citizens because they don't care about them. I'm making the harlot desolate and naked. I don't care about them. They killed their own people in 9/11. Anybody look at that evidence? What government, that you know that was done by the United States government, Talmudic Jews and Freemasons, what government will kill its own people like that? United States government. These top people on the evil hierarchy, they murder and they wound their own citizens and they revel in it. Because they don't care about you. They don't even think you're a human being. When you look at this drug situation and I look at it and I go, how can you let people live like that? My thing is, if I was in power, I would take all the people that are addicted to drugs and I would put them into rehab immediately. I feel sorry for them when I looked at the people that are addicted to them. All the pushers are in big trouble. Big trouble. If you're a minor pusher, I lock you up for 6 months. I catch you a second time, I kill you with a death penalty. If you're a major pusher over a certain amount, you get the death penalty right away. And then when you have that in force for a little bit of a while, then even minor pushers get the death penalty. Like the guy Duterte is doing in the Philippines. He's doing the right thing. It's the only way you get rid of it. And you take your borders and you stop them from coming to borders. And what that means is you have to get rid of all your politicians are making a lot of money from these guys and they don't want, and that's how they're financing their campaigns. That's just one way that they're murdering and how else do they wound their own citizens? By mental illness. They created all these new mental illnesses, which a demon came in and he's possessing these people with these mental illnesses that you never heard of before. PTSD. Did you think Abraham ever heard of that or King David? Or do you imagine King David coming back on men's got PTSD? It doesn't exist. It didn't exist even in World War II. It's a new thing. They created it, and the people are buying it because they're getting disability and they're making money off of it. And then because you believe it, the devil comes in and then really does make you crazy. You really do become mental, and you really do commit suicide. It's a fabricated mental illness that the people are worthy of because they embraced it because they can get disability and they get the money from it. But what is the Jew who's on the top of this hierarchy in a Freemason? He doesn't subscribe to this stuff. He's laughing. He's killing all these people by these mental illnesses and make them incapacitated. That's another way you make people naked and desolate. You tell them that God created you a certain way and you can't help it. You got to go to our cuckoo brain psychiatrists who make you only crazier or more crazier and can never make you better. That's another way of making people desolate and naked and more even immoral. And not only can you not get better that way, it makes you even worse and you get under a worse curse from God. This mental illness curse began in a big way in the 19th century with the apostate Jew Sigmund Freud. Instead of going to God and His grace to cure mental spiritual illnesses, men went to psychiatrists and psychologists instead. Mere men. And the end result was that the mentally ill only got worse and worse, and the types of mental illnesses multiplied. Let us read what the Word of God says about psychiatrists and psychologists, as recorded in Wisdom 17:8. For they who promised to drive away fears and troubles from a sick soul were sick themselves of a fear worthy to be laughed at. They're buffoons, they're fools, they're dopes, they're idiots. To anybody even has just a use of reason, these dummies. Hence, instead of helping souls, these psychiatrists and psychologists only murdered them all the more. And what about one of the biggest forms of murder? Abortion. Murdering infants in the wombs of their mother. And these mothers pretend that it's not a live infant. They pretend it's just a piece of flesh. They pretend it's only an infant when it comes out of the womb and it cries its first cry. But up to that moment, it's nothing. Their abortion is the murder of infants that has taken place massively throughout the United States. So they're supporting abortion. And they support through all feminism, okay, which turns upside down the family. Where the woman now rules the husband, and then now we got the children ruling the parents. Everything's upside down in the family order. And that creates this disorder. You look at the top Jews that are running this world, they don't really support feminism. That's one thing the Antichrist is not going to support when he comes to power, because he's a man. That's one thing they throw the harlot over. That also represents feminism. He's not a feminist, because he's a man, and he doesn't like women bossing him around. He's going to kill all the feminists, the Antichrist himself. That's the one group he's not going to maintain when he comes to power. He will maintain the homos and a lot of other these immoral groups, but not feminism. But he destroyed the whole family order by feminism and rebellion. Don't obey husbands. Get out of the house. Don't stay there cooking clean anymore. Children, don't obey your parents. Children have rights now over the parents. You can't even punish your kids. That's another way of making the United States desolate and naked. Homosexual nominal marriages, which are not real marriages, homosexual civil unions, and homosexuals adopting children also make the USA desolate by destroying families. And then he also supports civil disorder, riots, and generally coddles criminals. Criminals are put up on a hierarchy. They're favored. When they commit crimes, if they go to jail, very little time. And then they come right out and commit the crime again, go to jail little time, come out and commit the crime again. They purposely let criminals run out in the streets to wreak havoc in the inner cities and throughout the world, at the United States, and throughout the United States. You know what's happened in other countries too. Well, we're talking about the United States now. So they support the criminals and coddle criminals. And they let them go out there and kill people and steal and rob from people. Because they don't care about the people. That's another way you make the United States naked and desolate. And this is another area that Trump is good on, where he wants to bring back law and order and he doesn't want to coddle criminals. See my lecture, The Deception of the Major Media and Black Lives Matter. And my lecture, Black Criminals, Racists, and Radicals. And she also wounds and even kills her own citizens by inadequate health care. Even the Obama plan is an abomination. It's only good for poor. I'm not against the part where it's for poor people, Medicaid. But for the middle class people, you can't afford it. The price goes up. They got you locked in there by law, so you got to get it. And when they got you like that, the price goes up, the co-pays go up, and the service goes down. So that ain't no solution neither. And the Republicans are no good on this neither. So there's no adequate health care for the people in the United States. And now all the drug prices are being skyrocketed. One drug that could be like the EpiPen that's $10 one day goes up to $500 the next. Why does this happen? What do people... I worked in certain businesses when they went out of business, like Two Guys in New Jersey. It was called Two Guys. It was really owned by Talmudic Jews, and the Mafia also was running it too. They had to manage it. Talmudic Jews owned it. Mafia guys were managing it. Well, when it went out of business, and everybody knew they were going out of business, everybody around here started robbing the place and taking all the inventory out before it went out of business. My point is, they're raising all these drug prices real high because they know the heart is going to be destroyed very soon, or they're going to try to get every piece of blood they could out of this harlot before she goes down. You don't do something like this unless they themselves know you're on the verge of a downfall. They're trying to get everything they could out of the harlot before she falls. How else can you raise a drug from $10 to $500? They're not doing it with just the EpiPen. They're doing it with a lot of drugs. So people that need these, and they said the drug only costs about $3. There's no justification for this. And they're still doing it, and there's no law to stop them from doing it. This is another way of wounding and injuring and killing your own citizens through this healthcare system and the drug pharmaceuticals. Now, some people may ask, well, Rich, you already told us, and you did many lectures, that the United States is evil from the beginning. It's a harlot. She's going to fall. It's destiny. It's in the scriptures. It's deafened. She's going to go. So why are you trying to support Trump, and why are you trying to convert her, and why are you trying to still save what's left of this country that's going down? I answer very simply. If the apostles knew that Judas was going to betray Christ, which Christ, of course, knew because he was God, if Christ even came out and told the apostles, Judas is going to betray me, it's in the scriptures, are you going to help Judas to betray our Lord? Are you going to be going and help promote Judas? That's why I'm not promoting Hillary and the Democrats, the extreme left of the liberals. That's why I'm still fighting against them. That's why I'm still trying to convert the harlot, the United States, even though I know she will not convert. But why am I doing it? Because it's not really the harlot. I am trying. That's my mentality. I know it's not going to happen. But by me trying to do that, I'm going to end up converting a people in this country that see my efforts towards righteousness, my battle against the evildoers, and that's going to cause people in the harlot to convert. Because I still respect, I have to respect and honor this country that I'm living in. God tells us, He put rulers over us, no matter how evil they are. We have to pay Caesar his due. We have to obey him in all things except sin. And we have to respect the rulers that we're under. They're going to see the way we treat it. They're going to say, we really do care. We really would like this country to be turned back around. But what would it be like if you saw me saying, it would be like this, well, Hillary's going to get in anyway, even though she's the evilest of all people, probably the harlot incarnate. So why not vote for her? Why not promote her? Why not support her? Why not walk around with signs, vote for Hillary? I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Are you kidding me? That's why I'm still fighting to convert the harlot, even though I know she's not going to convert. And I'm doing it mostly for the people that are living here so they can see how we behave and how we still do care, even about this country, if we can turn it around. My hope would have been, even though I know she's going to fall, what to be like to convert the United States to a Catholic nation, where you have a monarch who's a Catholic ruling these people under Catholic rule in Christ the King. That's my hope. I know it's not going to happen. But I'm still not going to help the harlot. I'm not going to promote her. And I'm still going to fight against her. So that's what we're doing here. That's why we're supporting Trump. And because he's a lesser of the evils in this particular instance. He is the way lesser of evil. If Trump didn't get in, I don't think I have four more years to even talk the way I'm talking. God gave us a miracle here by allowing Trump to get in here to give us four more years to put off this major apostasy that Obama started in a big way in 8 years. Hillary would have completed the whole thing within maybe 6 months. Hate crimes, false news, I'm gone, we're all gone. Things would have went down very quickly. So that's God giving us a little more time and giving the United States a little bit of hope, even though we know the United States isn't going to have hope, they're going to be destroyed, but giving the people in the United States hope. Trump is starting something bigger. He said it right. He's starting a movement. It's more than just a political party. And his movement can go on even after the United States is destroyed. We're going to show you where Trump opposes most of the plans of the Antichrist. And that's why he's getting such vehement opposition. One, he's opposing the Antichrist plan of destroying the USA's nominal Christian identity and limiting as much as possible religious liberty for conservative nominal Christians and Catholics. I say nominal Christian identity because the only true Christians are Catholics. That's why I use that word. So Protestants aren't true Christians. So they're nominal Christians. But nevertheless, they still profess to believe in Jesus and that he's in the Holy Trinity and his death and resurrection and the manger scenes and all that. So the main plot of the Antichrist is he doesn't want to just get rid of Catholics, that who are his only real main enemy. But he wants to even get rid of Protestants and schismatics because they mention Jesus. He hates Jesus' name altogether, so he doesn't even want nominal Christianity. Now, Trump is opposing that ploy, that the devil plan that the Antichrist has been using and has been succeeding with in a really big way in the last 40 or since the 70s or 80s in a really big way. You no longer hear Merry Christmas out in public anymore. They're not allowed to say it in public places or they lose their jobs. You're not allowed to have manger scenes out in public. You put a manger scene out in public, that's it. One apostate Jew or one atheist goes in and complains, one out of 1,000 people and 10,000 people in the town, and they take the manger scene down. First of all, that's even against your own democracy type of principles and freedom of speech and all that. If you have, in this country, a majority of nominal Christians and Catholics in this country, they're in the majority, and they can't have their religious expressions in public. Well, that's been going on for years. When I grew up younger, you were allowed to say Merry Christmas. You did have manger scenes in public. Everybody knows who's been following this, that the Merry Christmas being said in public and manger scenes have come down. Well, Trump is now opposing that. He says, when I come to the presidency, we're going to start saying Merry Christmas from now on. And he even told his wife, I don't want you buying stuff in stores where they don't have Merry Christmas up and they're not saying Merry Christmas. This is a very big thing he's doing. A very big thing. This is undermining the plans of the Antichrist. He doesn't even like to hear the word Christmas or Christianity or Jesus at all. That's why they use words like holiday, or they have Santa Claus and they have his reindeers. But you don't know the real reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. And so he is opposing that. It's a good thing he's doing. And it's really got the Antichrist angry on that. He opposes most abortions. I think he still supports abortions for rapes or limited cases, which as Catholics, we're against all abortions. But nevertheless, he opposes abortion for most cases, which is still better, a lesser evil than what we had under the Democrats, which is abortion for any reason. So he opposes most abortions, the murdering of most. So he's sparing. A lot of infants are being saved because of this. Also, he opposes the full feminist agenda. He doesn't support full feminism. I say full feminism. He supports like a half feminist agenda. So he's not 100% on this, but nevertheless, he's against the full feminist agenda. What I mean by that, and I'm going to explain it right here, is a limited feminist, that's what you can call, or a half feminist, such as Trump, believes that women as a general rule can work outside the home and hold positions of authority equal to or above men. We don't believe that. He does still believe that. But they believe that the primary job of mothers is to take care of their children in home and obey their husbands. They love their husbands and men, and they are not lesbians. A full feminist believes that women are equal to or above men in all things, and thus even in the home. They despise taking care of their home and children. They hate, despise, or look down upon men. The only men they like are effeminate. Most of them are lesbians or support lesbians. So those are the kind of feminists that he's against. He even came out in a couple of statements and said, I want my wife to stay home and not work. She does the cooking. I come home, I want the dinner on the table. And they got all over his case on that. But he was right on that. That's correct. But I say limited feminist because he still allows as a general rule, for women to go out there and work and to have positions of authority, which women can still go out and work in society and have positions of authority, but that's not as a general rule. That's an exception to the rule. So he's not 100% on it, but he still nevertheless does pose a lot of the big, the full feminist agenda. So you're really big, ardent, full feminist women are against him. But you notice a lot of women were for him because not all women are full feminists. There's a lot of your women in the United States, most of them, are tainted with feminism to a little degree. But a lot of them are just limited feminists. And some of them are not feminist at all. And these are all the women that supported Trump. A real woman does not like an effeminate man anyway, you know? So there's still, I'm glad to see that there's still a lot of women out here in this country that are not going along with the full feminist agenda. They still love men, their family, and their children. They want to raise their kids. And so you still have that out there. So he had a lot of women backing him, which surprised these really bull-dyke feminists on the on the extreme left. So he's opposing the full feminist agenda. He also opposes effeminacy and effeminate people. He's manly. He's manly. That's why they don't like him. King David said to Solomon, his son, act like a man and take courage and do not fear. That's in 1 Parali Pomemon 28:20. And St. Paul says, watch ye stand fast in the faith, do manfully and be strengthened. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Manly as used here means having courage, conviction, and fortitude, and thus to be willing to fight and die for the truth. Hence being manly as used here applies not just to men but also to women. Catholic women are very manly in this way. Not in the heretical way where they try to look like men, but they're courageous, they have fortitude, and they got conviction. And part of being manly means you can't be politically correct. You have to come out and say what you mean what you say, and say it with firmness and with conviction. So he's against effeminacy and effeminate people. Okay, he's against militant homosexuals. Homosexuals who impose their views and ways and life on others. He doesn't oppose all homosexuality. We're going to get into that later where he's wrong. But he opposes the militant homosexual agenda where they're trying to shove it down the throat of all the people, sue people who don't accept their homosexual way of life and like people that have flower businesses and they make cakes for weddings and they don't want to do it for a homosexual wedding. The homos are now suing those people and taking away their business. He's against all that, which is good. He's against the militant homosexual agenda. But he still supports homos. He's bad on that in that other area, but he's still against militant homosexuals, them going out there and imposing their way of life on others. He's against homosexual marriages, which is a good thing, because they're really pushing that now. But unfortunately, as we'll learn later on, he's still for homosexual civil unions and that. That's not good neither. But at least he opposes the homosexual marriages. He opposes militant transgenders, but he still supports transgenders. But he doesn't like the militant ones that are forcing their way of life on others. He's against political correctness. That's part of his being against effeminacy. Political correctness is part of what we call non-judgmentalism and non-punishmentalism, where you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you don't want to condemn any sin, you don't want to punish any sin or sinner, and you don't want to call a defect or a sin for what it is. Satan needs political correctness and thus needs non-judgmentalism and non-punishmentalism to come to power in order that the massive faithlessness and immorality he works for may succeed and prosper. He needs sins to go uncondemned and sinners to go undenounced and unpunished, or at least insufficiently. Trump opposes Satan and Antichrist in this regard. He's against political correctness. This is one of his really strong points, and it's good. Your average normal person is not politically correct. A lot of them are becoming that way now, and the way they feel like they're forced, they're going to lose their jobs, they're not going to be accepted in society, and they're going to be shunned. But your average person doesn't like to be politically correct. That's when he comes out and says things that are not politically correct. Most of the people like it. So this is a very good thing. Antichrist wants you to be politically correct because that takes away your ability to make judgments and punish people. Part of it is political correct. We do not condemn a sinner for what he is, and we don't punish a sinner who deserves to be punished. It's not politically correct. They have all these. So he's against political correctness, which is a very good thing, and that opposes Antichrist's plans. He's fighting against the Antichrist plans to bring lawlessness and disorder into society by all these riots, by these radical criminal blacks and other radicals, your other lefty radicals that love to go out and protest and riot in the streets. And so he's against all these, the inner city crime that's going on in all these cities. And Trump is also against illegal immigration, in which hundreds of thousands of illegal Mexican immigrants enter the USA, many of whom are criminals and many of them drug dealers who bring in massive quantities of illegal drugs in order to murder or incapacitate USA citizens and bring in massive crimes and discord that comes with the illegal drug trade and drug addiction. See my lecture, Apostate Anti-Pope Francis's Visit to the Americas and His Anti-War Heresy. And the illegal Mexican immigrants who are not criminals take jobs away from the USA citizens and money and resources away from the USA without giving anything back. Hence, Trump opposes this plan of the Antichrist to make the USA and her citizens desolate by allowing and fostering illegal immigration. So he's fighting against the Antichrist plan to bring lawlessness and disorder to the United States. And he's fighting against this and pledges that he's going to end this. And I believe he means it. We'll see. But I think he does mean that. He's opposing the Antichrist plans of stealing from the United States and its citizens by thieving politicians, government institutions, and financial institutions, and by street criminals, and by exporting businesses from the USA and thus stealing businesses and jobs from our citizens. He opposes all that, which is part of their globalist plan also. So he's opposing Antichrist plan on that issue right there. Trump also opposes the Antichrist globalism by opposing unjust wars in the Middle East, such as in Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The Antichrist wants to eliminate or neutralize any threat that may come against his apostate state of Israel, in which he will eventually rule the world from. He wants to eliminate or neutralize the power of any Middle Eastern nation that does not accept the right of apostate Israel to exist. He does this by war or coups, with the hope to put in a new government that accepts Israel's right to exist. And if that is not possible, then he destabilizes that nation by war and leaves the warring factions to oppose one another so that that nation no longer has unity and any effective power and influence. And also will be easy to conquer when the time comes. See my article, Syria, Muslims, and Refugees. Hence, Trump opposes the Antichrist in this regard. And he also opposes the vehement anti-Russian sentiments and anti-Putin sentiments that are coming from these main conspirators, these lefty liberals, and also from these globalist Republicans and so-called conservatives who really rail against Putin, as they think he's Satan incarnate. Now, he's the worst tyrant that ever walked the face of the earth. They portray Putin as a Hitler or something, and Hitler was pretty good compared to all your rulers today. Putin's still probably one of the best rulers, less evil of all the rulers in the world. Why does the Antichrist not like Putin? Because he got rid of a lot of the plans of the Antichrist in Russia, and Trump is going to do the same thing Putin's doing in Russia, and that's why they're afraid of Trump, and that's why they attack Putin. Now we're going to talk about the things and where Trump supports the Antichrist, things that he's evil on, things, sins that he's guilty of, where he supports them. All right. He supports non-militant homosexuals and he supports civil unions for homos. He doesn't condemn homosexuality as a sin. He doesn't denounce homosexuals as deviants. And he doesn't. So, of course, he's not going to propose any type of punishment for them. So that, he's really bad on that issue. That's a bad issue. Even Putin has that same problem. And I think he also supports civil unions. Trump calls himself a Christian, but he is a heretic on this point alone. He doesn't even claim to be a Catholic, so he's a heretic for that. But also on this point where he supports homosexuality. Let's read what the Word of God says about homosexuality and transgenderism. And homosexuals and transgenders. And all those who support or consent to them and their sinful behavior. Trump is one of these consenters. He consents to this. Leviticus 20:13 says, if anyone lie with a man as with a woman, both have committed abomination, let them be put to death, or blood be upon them. And we read in Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not be clothed with man's apparel, neither shall a man use women's apparel, for he that doth these things is abominable before God. And if you try to say that was in the Old Testament, sorry, pal, these laws, dogmas on faith and morals are eternal. The punishments are eternal. Well, it applied to it and applies to now. We even read about it because St. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 1. And he says anybody who's guilty of these particular sins of immorality is worthy of the death penalty along with all those who consent to it. We're going to read about that again in the Romans chapter 1, 24 to 32, which is part of this Romans 1 curse. Wherefore God gave them up to the desires of their heart, unto uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves. For their women have changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And in like manner, the men also, leaving the natural use of women, have burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which was due to their error. As they like not to have God in their knowledge, God delivered them up to a reprobate sense. And those who have known the justice of God did not understand that they who do such things, homos and transgenders, are worthy of death.
death penalty, just like Leviticus. And not only is that do them, but they also that consent to them that do them. Hence, according to God's law, not only homos and transgenders are worthy of death penalty, but all those such as Trump and Putin who consent to these things. Putin even consents to it. He says there's nothing wrong with homos. He's better than the United States, so he doesn't let them go out there and publicly propagate their homosexuality. They have to hide in the closet. But he still says there's nothing wrong with homos and transgenders. Putin is wrong on this too. On that point alone, even Trump will be worthy of the death penalty under God's law for consenting to it. What Trump has to understand is, by you supporting homosexuals, you're doing the same thing that got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. So if you want to make America great again, it's certainly not by supporting homosexuals. You better get away from that. And I know that. I'm glad he's got Pence and the Tea Party people under him, because they're against homosexual agenda, and they're advising him. And I advise him to listen to them carefully and on this issue, because they're right on this issue. God's never going to totally be behind you if you're going to support homosexuals. You got to come out against them. And transgenders, because he supports transgenders too. He's really bad on that. And that's something that he's not as militant as the extreme lefty liberals with it. He doesn't want them to go out and push them, shove their agendas in our face, but he still supports them nevertheless. So Donald J. Trump, you got to understand that until you get rid of that, you can never make America great again. God will destroy it like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, they weren't getting married. They just supported homosexuality and thought they were okay. He thinks they're just great people who have a different choice in life. That's what Trump thinks. It's a very evil thing he holds. He has to get rid of that. Or God's never going to give him his total blessings. He's not going to do everything he wants to do. I'm here to try to help him to achieve what I still think he has a lot of goodwill. That's why I'm giving this lecture, to tell him what he needs to do to go all the way and to get God's full blessings and protection. You're certainly not going to get it when you support homosexuals. And don't worry about them being... Look, there's even people that are homosexuals that are ashamed of themselves, that hide in the closet. They don't like what they're doing. They even oppose homosexuality. They oppose it even though they're doing it, because they don't like it in their own life, you see? So what are you going to be opposing, Donald Trump? You're going to be opposing the militant homos that go out and march in parades and shove their ugly, filthy stuff in our face, force other people to accept it. Those are the ones. So just condemn homosexuality as a sin, deviant, against the natural law. And it's not hard to do that. The way we do it is, and to give you an example how you need to do this, right? When people come up and say, well, everyone it's a democracy. Everybody's free to do whatever they want, right? So I say, okay, people are free to do whatever they want. Okay, am I free to murder my neighbor? Am I free to go over to my neighbor's wife right now and rape her in front of her husband? Am I free to do that? And I'm sure almost everybody would say, no, you're not free to do that. Why not? If I'm free and I can do whatever I want, why can I not do that? By what law or rule do you tell me I cannot do that? They can't say any, because they don't pretend to be religious even. But if they came out and said, well, that's against the natural law, that's why they can't do it. There's a law on our heart, which is true, which tells us we can't do that. Exactly. And there's a law on our heart that says homosexuality is intrinsically evil. And so if you're going to condemn murdering and raping your neighbor's wife, then you got to condemn homosexuality. And homosexuality is against the common order of the family. It turns the family upside down, especially if you have civil unions and let them get married. So in other words, either you're going to allow everything, and if you don't allow everything and you ban certain things, what are you basing it upon? They're afraid. Some of them probably would be afraid to say, I'm basing it upon the natural law, because they don't even want to bring any type of religious thing in here. My point, too, is when they formed the Constitution, even though we don't support democracy, it was never their intention in the Constitution to allow people to do things that are against the natural law. They didn't mean when they said you're free to do whatever you want, that you can murder your neighbor, you can rape your wife. And if they didn't mean that, they also didn't mean you're allowed to have homosexuals. And homosexuality is okay. You got to link it in with all that. It's not hard to do, because you already have these laws that are banned. You have to link it into the natural law, at least. Say, there's a law upon our heart, and that's what it's violating. I'm just giving how he can go out there, because they always try to say, the homos come out and say, we have a civil right, and we have the freedom. No, you don't have the freedom to do that. And a lot of if they can try to compare it to the black civil rights movement, which is a complete, totally different issue. It's sort of the blacks ought to be angry when they do that. They're sort of putting the blacks into the category of homosexuality. Like the whole black race is a sin. So this is my little thing to Trump over here. Get rid of your supporting of the homosexuals altogether. condemn it as a sin and denounce them and bring punishments into public arena if they do it. You may not get the law passed, but try it with as much as you could. And boy, didn't you see how much help you're going to get from the true God, the Catholic God. Listen to your Tea Party people and Pence on this issue. Because I know he got them to stop talking. In the beginning, he was a little more vocal about, came out and said, we support the LGBT community and all. And then people were saying, are we supposed to clap for that? Because a lot of people in your evangelicals and y'all like conservative people on the right, they don't support that. And so, but after that, he wasn't too vocal about it. He tries to keep it kind of quiet because they told him, don't say it a lot because the people don't like it. And there's a reason. And I'm going to say, don't say it because God doesn't like it. And if you want God to help you, get rid of your homosexual agenda by supporting them. And get rid of your half-feminist agenda. The Word of God condemns full and half-feminists. We read in Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, thou shalt be under thy husband's power, and he shall have dominion over thee. 1 Peter 3:1, St. Peter says, let wives be subject to their husbands. And St. Paul says, let women be subject to their husbands in Ephesians 5:22. The Bible teaches what the end result of feminism is. Ecclesiasticus 9:2, give not the power of thy soul to a woman, lest she enter upon thy strength, and thou shalt be confounded. And we read in Ecclesiasticus 25:30, a woman, if she has superiority, is contrary to her husband. And Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, their oppressors have stripped them, and women have ruled over them. That's what you see the feminists trying to do all over the place now. They're ruling, they're in positions of authority, they're all over the place. But little do they know that the top guy that's running them is a man, he's the Antichrist, he's going to get rid of them eventually. But right now they have the illusion, and they really have this power because the laws are backing them. This is one of Trump's sins. He supports half-feminism. His daughter's a half-feminist. She wants to have women working outside the family and get special payment for it when they have kids so they can come back to work and all that, instead of saying the primary role of your average woman is to get married, stay in the home, raise your kids, take care of your husband. See? So he has to get rid of his half-feminist agenda. Now, I must warn you, Donald Trump, do not idolize your family. Do not put the love of your family above the love of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-37, as recorded there, do not think that I came to send peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I came to set a man at variance with his father, and the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy shall be in his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. For example, if you want to do the right thing according to God's will, get rid of your half-feminist agenda and your idolization of Christ-denying Jews and apostate Israel. For this is going to bring you in conflict with your daughter who converted to apostate Judaism, married an apostate Jew. She does not profess to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Messiah like you're supposed to believe in, Mr. Trump. And that should be for you a very humongous deal. The biggest of all things, because in the scripture, even prophets believe in this. Unless you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Messiah, you shall not have life in you. Read John 3:37. He who believeth in the Son of God shall have life everlasting. He who believeth not, the wrath of God shall be upon him. There's at least 200 verses in the New Testament that say you need to believe in Jesus. Your daughter doesn't believe in that. Your son-in-law doesn't believe in that. You can still be friends. I'm not saying to be nasty to him or anything, but be careful. That's a big issue right there where she opposes the true God. Are you going to love your daughter more than the true God and stand up when she tries to interfere with your plans by making you idolize apostate Jews, apostate Israel, and apostate Judaism? And you also have to oppose her half-feminist agenda. He holds that. And now for another of Trump's sins. He listens to some evil rock and roll stuff, some evil music, like the rock and roll type music. Not all rock and roll is evil. Some rock and roll is good and some is evil. It depends on the tone of the music and the lyrics. But he supports some evil rock and roll music. He supports contraception, which all Protestants do. Us Catholics condemn contraception. We compare it to abortion. It's what leads to abortion. When husband and wife come together, they have to always leave open the possibility of conception. They must always desire to have a child. And the minute you come together and have relations, spouses, and you use contraception, you're denying the primary purpose of marriage and of the sexual act, which is procreation. So it's a mortal sin when you use contraception. He supports that. All right. He supports limited abortions in the case of rape, at least. We don't support that. Abortion is not allowed in any case. You can always have these kids put up to adoption or some other thing if they're okay. He supports immodestly dressed women. St. Paul says, let your modesty be known to all men. Philippians 4:5. See my article, Modesty Rules for Women. At least the women in his camp are womenly. They're not like Bull Dyke lesbian-looking women. They're womenly, but they're still immodest. I have to tell them that, you know. At least they're womenly. They look like women, and you know. But they're immodest. When you dress immodest, it means you're showing off your more privater parts to people, and you're seducing other people. So you we're against it. He'll a lot of people out, but that's wrong, you know. He allows immodestly dressed women. He's a womanizer. Like a lot of these, I grew up the same way. You know, we grew up, hey, son, if you don't go with a girl by the time you're 16 or 17, there's something wrong with you. We'll go and get you a prostitute so you can go with a prostitute. So it was a great medal of honor when your son goes with, and has relations with a woman. I mean, that's the way we grew up. He's the same way, womanizing, you know. At least he's not a homo. He's not running after homos. It's, you know, I mean, they got all over his case on this. He's wrong on this. This is not correct. But at least he's not running after homos. But still, it's not right to womanize, and even adultery is bad. So we grew up in a society where we were taught that this is normal. It's not normal. The only relations that a man can ever have in his life, sexual relations, is with a wife, with his own wife, period. And only to do what's necessary for procreation. So anything else outside of that's either fornication or adultery or homosexuality if you do it with somebody. But the womanizing part is bad. He has to get rid of that. Now, John Kennedy had a problem with that. And I grew up with the same problem. I got rid of it by God's grace. But to Jesus, through Mary, purify me, made me chaste. I was bad too. I'm not trying to play holier than thou than all these people. I'm saying if God can clean me up, he can clean you up. So he's got to get rid of his womanizing. And here's one of the things that's really bad on. He's duped on. He's a full Zionist. And what does a full Zionist mean? He's listening to, this is the part where Pence and the Tea Party people are really bad, the evangelicals and your John Hagees. This is one of the things they're really deluded on. They're Christian Zionists. They believe that the apostate Jews have the right from God to possess the whole state of Israel, one state solution, and Jerusalem. So there's no room for the Palestinians because they misinterpret Old Testament prophecies and they think that the Old Testament prophecies, when it says the Jews are going to return to Israel, they're going to be blessed, they're going to bring the Messiah to power, they're applying it to apostate Jews. That only, first of all, they take, I'm not going to go too more in detail on how they take those verses out of context, but two things are happening there. Some of those verses were already fulfilled when he came back from the Babylonian exile. Other verses refer to the second coming of Christ when he brings down the new Jerusalem from heaven and it lands in Israel and Jerusalem when Catholic Jews will be living there forever. So they're misinterpreting Old Testament verses, and quite simply, it's easy to understand. It should be easier for them to understand. These Jews in Israel do not believe in Jesus Christ. They hate Christianity. They have no. How could God bless people who hate Jesus Christ? How could he bless them? How could he give them permission to go into the promised land? Every time the Jews were kicked out of Israel, it's because they disobeyed God. And the ultimate act of disobedience was murdering Jesus Christ and denying him down till today. They have no right to Israel. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. Trump is being duped by this. They use that religious reason. And so they say that they deserve to have the whole state of Israel, we'll call it the one state solution. Trump is being duped by them. He's following Pence and Cruz and the other people on this issue that idolize these apostate Jews. Our Lord said that they have no right to even one iota of the land of Israel unless they become Christians. And it becomes a Christian, a Catholic Jewish state. And that hasn't happened. It's not going to happen until Christ comes a second time. So the Jews that are over there right now don't belong there. That's a very big issue in the eyes of God. They're an abomination, a desolation, a place where they don't belong. Trump needs to know this. He needs to know this because you know what's happening on this issue with Trump too? The apostate Jews are going to use him to their benefit. Now here's the thing where there's a dilemma between Trump and the Antichrist. There's a dilemma between both of them. The Antichrist really doesn't want Trump in there because the things that he's opposing are so many that he can't come to power if Trump does what he wants to do. If he opposes globalism, if he gets rid of the corruption in the United States and brings back the jobs, and he gets rid of this one world government that the Antichrist is trying to form, he can't come to power. So this is really hindering the Antichrist. He doesn't want Jesus Christ to be mentioned in public. Trump does. So
Antichrist and even your Zionist, full Zionist Jews like Netanyahu in the back room didn't want Trump to get in. They'd rather have Hillary in there. They didn't say anything before the election. They waited for it to turn out. Now they're going to, of course, they go on whoever wins and they want to be favorable to him. But what the Antichrist is doing in this case, he's sitting back and saying, I know we didn't get the guy we wanted. Trump is going to prevent the harlot from being destroyed. He's trying to convert the harlot, resuscitate her, bring her back to life. And we don't want that to happen. We want globalism. But what do we got? We got Trump anyway. We can't get rid of him. So what are we going to do? We can use him. We can use him because he's a full Zionist. We can use him to push our plan for one state in Israel and one Jerusalem, kick the Palestinians out, and then we have our homeland getting ready for the Antichrist. So they're going to use Trump for that. And he's already promoting it. Just a couple days ago, our Lord gave us proof of that, when the United States for 40 years has been vetoing any attempt for the UN to condemn Israel's illegal occupation of the Palestinian lands and settlements. And that's a righteous cause, because Israel, first of all, as we said, Israel doesn't even belong there at all. Let alone you're taking over the land of the Palestinians, which the UN already divvied out and said you have no right to this land. This is Palestinian land according to the United Nations law. And Israel became justified by the law of the United Nations. But they obey the United Nations when they want, and they disobey it when they don't want. But here's the point. Every time that the United Nations came up with a just proposal that we're going to condemn the Israel for illegally occupying Palestinian lands and building settlements on Palestinian land, the only person to veto it was the United States for 40 years. The United States came out. Everyone else said, yeah, of course that's wrong. The United States, no, they were supporting, the harlot supports the Antichrist to bring him to power. Now, the irony of all this is that, and this is Republican and Democrat alike, they're all the same, and they'd all come out and play lip service. And they will come out and say, well, we oppose these settlements. Freeze these settlements. I don't want no settlements. You really should stop this. Don't do it. But that's just, you know, that's just lip service. They don't mean it. In the back room, what they're saying is, keep doing it. But we have to say that to appease the public. How do we know that these Republicans and guys like Obama were only paying lip service? I'll tell you why Obama recently did what he did. But you know why they're only paying lip service? Because in the back room, because when it came to the vote in the UN and they vetoed it, actions are stronger than words. You're a lying bastard. You want the settlement. You want them to continue with the settlements. You are actively working through the Freemasonic lodges and through the highest levels of evil hierarchy to bring about a one state and a one Jerusalem. That's why when Netanyahu comes out every now and says, oh yeah, I work for two states. And then another time he says, no, I want one state. No, it depends on who he's talking to. What does he ultimately want? One state. He wants one state. This is why Obama never really got along with Netanyahu, because the Democrats on the whole are a little bit better than the Republicans on this issue. They do press him a little more about stop the settlements, but not enough still. They press him verbally. But they press him, don't do the settlements, you know, freeze them, remove some of your settlements. And they try to do it, but they're still hypocrites, because they still veto the UN thing. But what Obama did just before he left office, he instructed his ambassador to the UN for the first time in 40 years to not veto. The UN came out with a proposal that we condemn Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian lands and their settlements. And okay, they're waiting for the veto, and they already gotten the word was out that they're not going to veto it. They're going to abstain from the vote, and therefore it's going to pass. And Netanyahu is correct when he came out and said, I think this was all planned ahead of time, and even told the UN, do it now before Obama goes out. He's right about that. But here's my point. So Obama comes out, and for the first time in 40 years, which is good, really, they don't veto the thing. The guy went crazy in Israel. He went nuts. He called Trump, and the Trump, who's a pro-Zionist, full Zionist, came out and said, this is horrible. You're going against Israel. You're attacking the interests of our close ally. You're going against Israel. How are you going against Israel? In what way? If you support the two-state solution, what's left for the Palestinians? If you say, there's where Trump is being even illogical. I'll say, even if Trump is not looking at this from a religious perspective, like Pence and Cruz, because they're evangelicals, they believe the Jews have a religious right to it. Trump has to look at it from this perspective. If you believe in a two-state solution, how could you not stop the settlements? If you let the Israelis keep building settlements, there's going to be nothing left for the Palestinians to live on. Look at the map on how they've encroached upon Palestinian land.
Now, they probably have 60, 70, 80% of the land already under their control because of illegal settlements. Keep this going on, and you're going to say, okay, the Palestinians have a right to a state, but there's none left. All settlements were taken over. But logically, what Trump is trying to do here, he's going to get himself in trouble on this with the Palestinians and the Arabs and a lot of other people. If Trump's going to be honest on this issue, he has to come out and say, I support one state, which he sort of did. He even said they have the right to Jerusalem. He had at least come out and say it. I believe in one state. Like the Zionists do. I mean, Pence would say that. Cruz would say that. Okay, at least you're being less dishonest. You're being honest about that. But don't come out and tell me you believe in two states and then you don't want to ban settlements. So Trump's going to get trapped on this. He's getting caught. They're using Trump. I'm telling you, Donald Trump, on this. Watch out for these Christian Zionists. Get away from them. They're going to drag you into something. And after they're done using you to come to power so they can have one state and one Jerusalem so the Antichrist can reign there, they're going to kill you and jump and throw you over the boat or under the bus. Because they don't need you no more. Because they don't like you. Mostly they don't like you. They didn't want you. Believe me, Donald, you got some Jews on your cabinet now, fine. But believe me, in the back rooms, they don't like you. Most of them. I'm not saying all. There might be some out there that do like you that are not full Zionists. But they don't like you. They didn't want you to get in. But now that you're in, they're going to use you. They don't want you to get in because it's, here's the dilemma. If Trump stays in there, at the same time, he's opposing globalism and their attacks against Christianity. So that doesn't help Antichrist neither. And those are big plans they've been working on since the China agreement of making the harlot desolate. So he's going to undo that. They don't want that. So there's a dilemma. Both of them are stuck in a dilemma here. And I'm trying to tell Trump in the areas where he's wrong to amend his way so the true God can back him 100% and he could make America great again like he wants to. At least attempt to do it. And I believe he means it. I do. I believe he wants to do it. But I'm trying to tell him that if he wants to get it done in the best and possible way, he's got to get rid of his own sins and his own heresies and false beliefs on this. This Zionist thing is really big. We'll talk about where the hypocrisy comes into all of this. When Obama did this, of course, they're going crazy now. It's the first time in 40 years that the United States didn't veto and didn't protect Israel. And he's acting like, how is Obama anyway attacking Israel? He's actually protecting the Palestinians and upholding the UN right and saying, you can have your land and the Palestinians can have, he's upholding two states. Something Netanyahu says he supports two states. There's hypocrisy on all of this. But here's Obama's hypocrisy. His hypocrisy. This lying, filthy, double-faced Janus bastard. He came out, and his spokesman came out and said, we support Israel more than anybody. We gave them more money than any government before, $38 billion for all of this. So he's still supporting them. And here's my other part. He goes, but we've always, he came out and said, the spokesman says, for 40 years now, we've always opposed settlements. We've always said, freeze them, back them up. So it's nothing new. We always oppose your settlements verbally. They always do verbally for 40 years. And here's my point. Obama's been in power for 8 years, and he always verbally opposed or tried to limit their settlements. And during his 8 years that he's been in power, he's vetoed several times the UN when they condemn the illegal settlements of Israel. So Obama was a hypocrite. If you really meant what you said, why did you wait till you're leaving to do it? He just wants to get a final shot at Netanyahu. He wants to get a final shot at him before he leaves. But his hypocrisy is proved by the fact that he was in there for 8 years and vetoed the UN when they came out and said they wanted to block settlements. There's a great hypocrisy going on both sides. So you see, even the Democrats who seem to be a little more in favor of the two-state solution, they're even hypocrites. Here's another hypocrisy. The Zionist Jews say that the main problem with giving the Palestinians their own state within the Holy Land is that some Palestinians do not accept the right of the Jews to have a state in the Holy Land. Well, many Jews, by word and in deed, believe that the Palestinians do not have a right to a state in the Holy Land. Hence, this excuse applies to both parties and therefore cannot be used as an excuse to not work for a two-state solution or to favor one party over the other in this regard. So you have groups in both of these areas that only believe they should have a right to the state. So that disqualifies that argument from both sides, not just for the Palestinians, but also Israeli. Another hypocrisy and deception is the Zionist Jews who profess to believe in a two-state solution but work for a one-state solution. They are actually full Zionists while pretending to be half-Zionists. Their deeds speak louder than their words. While they say they believe the Palestinians have a right to a state in the Holy Land, they go about stealing and occupying Palestinian land with illegal Jewish settlements and then progressively pushing the Palestinians out of the Holy Land and leaving them no land for a state. Hence, while some Palestinians believe that the Jews do not have a right to a state in the Holy Land, most Jews are actually working toward their goal of denying the Palestinians a right to a state in the Holy Land by stealing and occupying their land. Their actions are even... The Palestinians aren't doing it. The Jews are doing this. The illegal settlements. Yet the major media and the rest of the rigged system blames the Palestinians and allows the Jews to continue to steal and occupy Palestinian land. President-elect Trump, I ask you, how would you like it if the apostate Jews stole and occupied your land, businesses, hotels, and homes, such as Trump Tower in New York, Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey, and your Mar-a-Lago in Florida? Would you sit back and allow it? Or would you condemn what they did and fight with whatever means you have to get back your land, businesses, hotels, and homes? How would you like it if you were the one who was condemned instead of those who stole your possessions? Well, that's what's happening to the Palestinians over there. Because even according to the national rules, they're stealing land. But mostly important to God's rule, the Jews doesn't have no right to that land. Now, us Catholics are not against taking and occupying people's lands for a just cause, as God ordains this. But my point here is that you cannot profess to believe in a two-state solution while allowing the Jews to progressively steal and occupy Palestinian land. To be honest in this matter, you must reject the two-state solution and only work for the one-state solution, with Israel being at one state. And if you did this, you would still be sinning because God does not give Christ-denying Jews the right to own any land in the Holy Land. Hence, the Zionist Jews stealing and occupying Palestinian land in the Holy Land is unjust in the eyes of the Catholic God. Be careful then, and think twice, and do not listen to the Christian Zionists in this regard, such as Mike Pence, Mike Huckabee, and the other evangelicals, before you blindly support the apostate state of Israel and allow these Christ-denying Jews to unjustly steal and occupy Palestinian land. From the true God's perspective, and you gotta listen, you gotta read my books, and you gotta listen to my lectures on this, which I'll put up here. See my book Against Zionism, which is also in audio format. See my lecture Jerusalem Belongs to the Catholic Church, which is in video and audio format. And see my book The Jews, and my Zionism conspiracy page. My webpage, Conspiracies of the Jews. You got to read these, because the true God does not support Jews who deny him and don't believe in Jesus Christ. He does not want them to be and to have the state of Israel, not even one iota of land in their possession. They could live there when they were living there before, but not own it. They can't own it. They can't possess it, let alone Jerusalem. But they need to do this to bring their Antichrist to power. And Mr. Trump, you're helping them to do this. You may not know the whole implication of what's going on. I'm telling you now. But they don't like you. These Jews are going to use you, and then they're going to dump you. All right? So if you want the true God on your side, get rid of your fool Zionist. And really, I don't think it's a bridge too far to tell him to get rid of his two-state solution. Because the real solution, I'm going to tell it to you, though. The real solution is Jews don't belong in Israel at all. If I was the leader or the ruler, that's what I preach. I may not be able to get it done. But that's what I preach. They don't belong there at all. They don't have right to even an iota of that land. Even though Pius X was an apostate anti-pope, he taught the truth in this regard. I quote from the Jerusalem Post, "The Pope's Visit, Hoping for the Best," by Michael S. Arnold, May 25th, year 2000. In 1896, at the start of the campaign to build international support for a Jewish national home, Theodore Herzl turned to the Vatican officials in Vienna, only to get a frosty reception. Granted an audience with Pius X in 1904, Herzl was told, according to his diaries, this is Pius X speaking, "We are unable to favor this movement. We cannot prevent the Jews from going to Jerusalem, but we could never sanction it. The ground of Jerusalem, if it were not always sacred, has been sanctified by the life of Jesus Christ. As the head of the church, I cannot answer you otherwise. The Jews have not recognized our Lord. Therefore, we cannot recognize the Jewish people." If the Jews did reach the shores of Palestine, that Pope says, churches and priests will be waiting to baptize them. As I say, the only Jews that have a right to the promised land, Holy Land, are Catholic Jews. Beware also of the apostate Jews who denounce everyone as an anti-Semite for justly criticizing or condemning a Jew for a crime or sin or some other act of injustice. They equate this with hating Jews because of their race, which is a huge lie. They're false claims of anti-Semitism. According to their definition of anti-Semitism, I would be an anti-Semite for criticizing the Jews on a lot of sins and crimes they commit. Yet I'm a Jew myself, a Catholic Jew. And thus I would have to hate myself. And guess what they call people like me? Self-hating Jews. As a Catholic, I do not hate anyone, let alone a whole race of people. While I hate and condemn their sins, false gods, and false religions, I truly love them at the same time. Even though I love them, I would kill them for a just cause if the crime warranted, just as I would kill any man from any race who deserved to be killed. Hence, beware of apostate Jews' false claim of anti-Semitism against people like David Duke, for instance. They lie about David Duke and pretend he is still a member of the KKK, which is a racist organization. I agree with that. They're white racists. We don't support them. But David Duke repented from this many times. He's no longer a member. He tells you he doesn't hate other races, even though he loves his white race. And I said, you should love your race above all races. That doesn't mean you hate other races. The reason they call David Duke an anti-Semite is because he exposes the crimes and sins of evil Jews. And he does a really good job on it. But he'll tell you right on his things, he tells you, I don't hate Jews. I don't hate their race. He'll tell you that. Yet the press portrays him that. And Trump, I know, knows this is true. I know it because when they first came out, he didn't want to go against David Duke. But the media portrayed him as an anti-Semite, a hater of the Jewish race, and Trump sort of got stuck on this issue. Forget the major media. Don't be influenced by them. Come out and give the right answer. Let me look what David Duke really believes in. You guys are lying about him. He's exposing some crimes and sins evil Jews commit. If you don't agree with the crimes or sins, try to oppose him. But he never said he hates Jews. You can even go out and get his own words, and he'll tell you he doesn't hate any race anymore. He's no longer a member of the KKK. And so they're lying about David Duke. Look, they even accused me and the members of Mary's Little Remnant as being KKK members. They accused us of being KKK racists. See my book, The Persecution of Rick Gonzalez. I go over that whole thing in there. That huge lie. Dear President-elect Trump, if you are really against the rigged system, the whole rigged system, you must defend people like David Duke from the lies told about them in the major media and by others. You must defend us who rightly expose the Holocaust as a huge lie and the 9/11 lie that terrorists took down the two World Trade Centers and Building 7. I am 99% sure that you know that this was an inside job orchestrated by high-ranking apostate Jews and Freemasons like the Bushes. This is the same apostate Jews and Freemason Bushes who orchestrated the weapons of mass destruction lie to get the USA to go to war against Saddam Hussein's Iraq. These were your worst enemies who tried their evil best to not let you get elected to the presidency. Hence, do not side with them now. Do not be fooled. They are still your worst and most dangerous enemies. If you want to drain the swamp, start with the high-ranking apostate Jews and Freemasons like the Bushes, John McCain, and Lindsey Graham, and people like them. I don't mention the Democrats because they're all bad. But he's most dangerous to the ones that profess to be on his side, and they're not. So now you just heard about the dilemma between Trump and the Antichrist. Antichrist does not like Trump, really, mostly, and his people. They still don't want him in power. He's doing so many things to hurt them that he is definitely going to... If Trump did everything he did, let's say, worst case scenario, he succeeds in allowing Israel to be controlled totally by the apostate Jews in Jerusalem. So they get their one state. But he opposes globalism, and he still says Merry Christmas, and he still wants Christians to go out and freely propagate their faith and all that. Antichrist cannot come to power. He can't. Those things have to be done away with. So what I'm saying is that the apostate Jew, he's sly as a fox. He's going to use Trump for this one state thing, and then he's going to work against them and put Democrats back in power, somebody who can be extremely immoral, fight against Christianity, anomal Christianity, and go back towards the globalist plans. Now we're going to talk just briefly about Trump's relationship with Putin and Russia. As everybody knows, Trump says he likes Putin, right? And he was a great leader, and rightly so. Trump is absolutely correct about that. Trump is going to attempt to do in the USA
the good things that Putin did in Russia. Putin freed Russia from corrupt government, from greedy and selfish businesses and businessmen, from globalists and other traitors who are undermining the well-being of Russia, and from massive immorality by making Russia way less immoral than it was before he came to power. And he was also re-Christianizing Russia. This is very important for people to understand because they portray Putin as the communist or back into the old Soviet era communist. He's not a communist. He's a Tsarist. That's very important. He's we know that's not true Christianity. The Orthodox Russians are not true Christians. You know, they're heretics. They're outside the church. They're on the road to hell. But nevertheless, they're nominal Christians. And that's still a good thing that he's doing, a lesser evil thing, by re-Christianizing Russia. It's not communist. It's Tsarist, which is a lesser evil than communism. It's not communism. Don't let people lie to you. That's why they're so afraid of Putin today, the Antichrist, especially because he's trying to re-Christianize it. He's becoming less immoral than it was before, right? And he's anti-globalist. So they, you know, the Antichrist really doesn't like what Putin's doing over there, so they're really opposing Putin. Now, Trump is trying to do these same things in the USA. And says, I make this statement too. You can see that the extreme lefty liberals and globalists do not like Putin, and thus they do not like Trump. And even if Trump did not support Putin and didn't say he liked him and he's a great leader, they still wouldn't like Trump because he's doing the same things that Putin's doing in Russia that they don't like. Good things in the eyes of God that the evil, that main evildoers do not like. And that's why they wouldn't like Trump anyway, whether he said he liked Putin or not. Now, here's the other issue we bring up. Trump comes out and says, what's wrong with being friends with Russia? Wouldn't that be a good thing for the world? I mean, is there anything wrong with wanting to be friends with Putin and Russia? And here's the hypocrisy of the whole thing. That should be the goal of all nations, to try to have good relations with all nations, if possible, right? But here's the hypocrisy. That Hillary Clinton, Obama, and even a lot of your hawkish Republicans are condemning him for wanting to be friendly with Russia. But when Bush was in power, he was extremely friendly with Putin. He invited Putin over and they went fishing together in Texas and he went over. I mean, they were very friendly. Hillary Clinton, when they did the restart, and Obama, they wanted to open up relations with Russia. It was called the restart thing. So they wanted to be friendly with Putin. So then how come they're condemning themselves? Trump is only trying to do what you people tried to do and failed. Bush was a little more successful than the Democrats were. But what's wrong with that? That's just normal diplomatic relations, wanting to be have a good relationship with the Russians and with Putin, and being that they're a major power, right? And here's the other hypocrisy. The people that are condemning Trump for being friendly with Putin, they're friendly with Saudi Arabia, a country that has laws way more, according to their perspective, that is really going against their extreme lefty liberal agenda, Saudi Arabia, and they're friendly with Saudi Arabia, great relations with them. And not just Saudi Arabia, but other countries in that same vein, they're very friendly with China. And China has, according to them, is not doing everything according to their liking. But Putin, they don't like the most because he's trying to re-Christianize Russia, which he has done, you know, even though it's nominal Christianity. And he's doing a lot of things by getting rid of a lot of the massive immorality and kicking out the globalists. He's kicked out of the oligarch Jews that were running his country and the outside influence and all the other traitors that are trying to undermine the Russians. See my politics webpage on Russia. So with that in mind, beware of all these, we call them especially the Warhawk people, you know, that like John McCain, who vehemently attack and vilify Putin. Beware of those people when you hear him saying, Putin's a monster, he's a madman, he's evil. Well, why is he evil? Why is he a madman? For what reason? He kills people? We kill people. He drops bombs? We drops bombs. Civilians get pulled in as collateral damage and necessary sometimes. If you can't separate them from the terrorists, we do the same thing. So why is he evil? If he's evil, then you're evil. Why is he evil? For defending his turf from being encroached on and his borders so the enemy doesn't come up on his borders? Won't we do the same thing if Putin tried to come into Canada or Mexico? Won't we go against him? So in other words, beware that these war hawks like McCain and these people that really, really go with Putin, you know, just know that they're Freemasons and they're at the top of the hierarchy of evil with the Jews. They're at the top of the, they're Freemasons and apostate Jews are at the top of that evil hierarchy. That's why they're opposing Putin, because he's overturning their Freemasonic plans and their globalist plans. Same thing Hitler did, really. And that's why they compare Trump rightly to Hitler or Putin. And there's nothing wrong with being compared to Hitler. Hitler's way less evil than these other rulers. He was still evil. He, you know, he has, I read my book, The Sins and Nonsense of Hitler, but he did a lot of good things, and he really threatened that one globalist satanic order that was coming to power. That's why they got rid of him. Okay, now we're going to talk about some of the ways that they rigged the system against Trump. They laughed at Trump and said, what are you talking about, the rigged system? Well, anybody who was watching this and has a little bit of common sense and goodwill would see it was that he was right when he said the system was rigged. Okay? First of all major financial institutions, if not all of them, most rich people, billion trillionaires, donated to Hillary Clinton and not to Trump. Trump got most of his money from your average people, from donations online, from your average citizens. If you look at, in the evidence, you'll see the disparity between how much money she got and what he got. So all the big business, all the big billionaire rich people were pouring the money into Hillary's campaign. The major media selectively quoted Trump or took his words out of context to forward lies about Trump. Their main motive was to portray Trump as a dumb, inept, a clown, a buffoon, a racist, an anti-Semite, a tyrant, and an oppressor of women. And all of the major media chimed in with one accord. All said the same things about him. Other thing about the major media and everyone, they were all unabashed Democrats. Every one of them were all pro-Hillary, and they weren't even ashamed to let you know about it. And every now and then when they will put a Republican on there, he'd be a weak one, one that's leaning towards, doesn't really like Trump, and he would really forward their agenda. So they never really put any opposition on there. No real Republican or Tea Party person or someone who supported Trump from the other side. It was, they were all, and they did, and they took his words out of context. Now, the thing I thought myself when they were saying he's inept, he's a clown, he's a buffoon, he can't run nothing. Well, wait a second. The guy's a billionaire. He's got like all these businesses, right? He's got people that he's hiring under him, and he's got to build. But the guy cannot be an idiot. I'm sorry. You can't. Now, you can be evil, and I'm sure he got a lot of his stuff through evil means, maybe through mafia casinos or whatever, how he got it. But he's got it, and he's controlling it, and you can't be an idiot. You have to be smart. You got to know how to run things. You got to know how to manage things. He's got buildings and businesses in different countries. He's going to know how to deal with other countries. The guy cannot be an idiot, okay? That's how they tried to portray him. He was a real dumb idiot, didn't know anything. And that doesn't mix with anybody who knows anything about somebody who's successful. To be successful like he is, regardless of how he got his money, whether evil or by good means, you still need to be pretty smart, and you got to be a good manager, and you got to know how to deal with people. So in a sense, when you look at what he did, he's better qualified than these politicians to sit around and don't know how to do anything but steal from people. But they portrayed him as that. And then when they portrayed him as an oppressor of women and all that, like, you look at his family, his wife and his daughters. He's not like a tyrant over his, you know, even a good husband and a true woman who's not a feminist. The husband loves the wife, and they're not oppressors. They don't have tyranny over the women. That's what they try to portray him as, being a tyrant over women. But look at his family. Look at his daughter. Look at his wife. It's a lie what they're saying about him. They tried to pretend that he was a real guy that really did oppress women or hated women. It's not true. Or looked down upon them, you know. And that was a lie. Now, the major media also, they exploited, amplified, and exaggerated Trump's faults and shortcomings. But ignored or minimized and understated Hillary's faults and shortcomings. The evidence section, you'll see that. 4, the major media produced false polls that put Hillary ahead of Trump in states that she was not ahead and gave Trump a lower popular vote than he actually had. And all said that Trump had no chance whatsoever to win. Not at all, not a chance. And they all, on all the major media, chimed in on that one right there. They do that to try to influence the people ahead of time who are not sure. A lot of times sheep just follow who's the most popular. But this year it didn't work. It did not happen. The people are becoming, at least a good portion of the people are becoming wise to the major media. They no longer pay attention to it. That's why Trump was going to the people directly and using internet and tweets and ways to speak to people, which really was successful and it worked. They're going to overtake. The major media is worthless right now. Even people who used to be in it and left say it's so inept. It's so horrible that no one's even going to be listening to it anymore. And Trump was really the first president that did a beeline around the whole major media and won by going directly to the people. And he has the means through the internet and Facebooks and tweets to get them. All right, 5. Prominent members and ex-members of the CIA and FBI who are supposed to be apolitical, which means not political, which is kind of stupid. Everybody's political. I don't care who you are. But what they really tell you is you're supposed to not bring their politics to their job. They're just be neutral. All right? That's what they're supposed to be, right? Well, these guys supported Hillary and vehemently attacked Trump, which is very interesting, too. A lot of these current or ex-FBI CIA guys who worked in this department, who were Republicans, came out publicly, like Robert Morrell on the FBI, and actually came out and said he's going to vote for Hillary. That's how, and the CIA guy did that. And by him doing that, though, he made himself ineligible for any future position in the FBI or CIA, because you're not allowed to do that. If you do that, then you're disqualified. And they even told him, you know, by you doing this, you're going to disqualify yourself from any future jobs. He says, I don't care. This is so important. I have to tell the people Trump is a monster. I am supporting Hillary Clinton. I'm going to vote for her. A CIA guy did the same time. Same thing. You'll see it in the evidence. The CIA and FBI was stacked against Trump when it came to the investigations against Hillary Clinton and the Russian hackings. We're going to go into that in the evidence. They were all against Trump and they were all for Hillary. And they were definitely politicized. That's another big part of the system, of the rigged system. Now, then you also had your country club Republicans, which are Freemasons. They call them country club Republicans. Vehemently opposed Trump, such as the Bushes, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Mitt Romney, etc. And some of them went as far as to say they would vote for Hillary. They even said the senior Bush said he's going to vote for Hillary. We still don't know what he did. The senior, right? Bush senior? He said, I'm going to vote for Hillary. Others would say, I'm not going to vote at all, or I'll vote for somebody else. The revolt of these Republicans against their own candidate was unprecedented. So even worse come to worse, he's still better than Hillary, right? And they said, no. This shows you how much he really just satisfy either group. He's coming from the outside. You can see it. Going against their plans. The opposition he got was humongous, was immense. It was the whole system was against him. 7, the Democratic Party, in cahoots with the major media, promoted riots and other violent disturbances at Trump's rallies and other of his speeches whenever he appeared. And when Trump's supporters responded by defending themselves or by expelling the disruptors, they were accused of starting the violence and being the violent ones. Now, let's figure this out. Trump supporters, there's no disruptions of Hillary's or rallies. No disruptions. See, here's the thing. I'm going to make a point. People that are on the right of the issue that are a little more conservative, like the righties, who are better than the lefties are way more evil. The more conservative-minded, the more moral-minded people on the right, they don't like to protest. They don't like to riot. They do their job. They do their businesses. And they go home and take care of their families. They don't want to do it. The lefties, they love to protest. They love to riot. They love to rebel. They're anarchists. They hate all authority. It's easy to rally them up. And that's why they're the most evil. They really are. They riot. They protest on the drop of a dime for anything. They just love to protest. Doesn't even matter if they agree with it. They love to do it. Well, the Democratic Party under Hillary Clinton, we have proof, 2 videos will show you, where they actually plot and sent people into the Trump rallies to create problems. And then when the Trump guy responds and punches the Democrat in the face, they put that on TV and say, look at these guys are racist. They're punching our people and all this. They instigated the Trump rallies. And they purposely did this. We have proof of this. That they actually sent people there to disrupt their rallies. No such thing happened with the Democrats. Because Republicans are mostly righties and conservative people don't like to do that stuff. They don't generally want to go out and protest and riot. The lefties do this. And then when the people responded by just trying to expel them, they started blaming it on the Republicans. How is this the Republicans' fault? They didn't come in here and start shouting out all kinds of nasty things and pushing and shoving. And they were even verbally attacking and punching and hitting Trump supporters. It was really violent in the Chicago thing. You'll see that in the evidence section when we come to it. So they instigated these disruptions, and then they were blaming Trump for it. They were blaming Trump for it. Trump instigated it. If you don't like Trump, then don't vote for him. Just go to your party. You know, if you allow people to start doing civil disorders and riots and that, then that's not, you're not even being honest to your own democracy principles where everybody's free to speak, right? But anyway, the Democrats are good at doing this, and I always told the people that if they keep pushing the people who are more moral and the conservatives on the right issue, you keep pushing them, you're going to get them to the point where they're going to finally come out and fight. And when they come out to fight, they don't like to protest and riot. They're going to annihilate you overnight. It's going to be an absolute war. They're going to take you down before you can blink. But the lefties, they love to do this. And they disrupted his rallies and made him look like the bad guy. Especially if they sent the black guy in here or something, a radical black who started disrupting the whole rally and shoving people, and some guy punched him in the face. Oh, they will put that on TV. He's a racist. You know, they love that. So this, and this was a constant theme you saw throughout the whole thing. And it was also, I think, some of Bernie Sanders people were there, but they blamed it on Bernie Sanders people. We know maybe some of them that were involved, but we now found out, guess what? It came from Hillary's campaign herself. The Democrats instigated these things to try to make the Republicans look bad. It's sort of like if I come up and I punch you in the face and I tell the cameras, don't say nothing until he punches me back. And then you punch me in the face and that gets on the camera, you're the one that looks bad. That's what basically the whole major media did to Trump. And they all knew it. They didn't say anything. They didn't condemn these violent protesters. They didn't condemn them from coming here and trying to disrupt him from speaking. They didn't condemn when they hurt people out in the street in Chicago and all these riots that they were doing and they're burning things and all that. No. And so he had to deal with all of that. Now all this stuff, when we go into the evidence section, we're going to go into more detail on it. Now I'm going to end this overview with one statement that I hope Trump is like Constantine. I hope he is. He has the potential to be like Constantine, the potential. I'm not flattering him. He's saying a lot of good things. I'm trying to convert him. Now, what happened with Constantine? Sort of like Nebuchadnezzar too, but I'm going to talk about Constantine here now. Constantine, when he first was going to get Maxentius, and you can say Trump's going against all this evil hierarchy, the Christians came up to Constantine, who was a pagan, and said, you're not going to beat Maxentius unless you have the help of the true God, the Catholic God, because they're going to be doing all kinds of spells and witchcraft and all kinds of stuff against you from the other world, and unless the true God helps you, you'll never be coming to power. So Constantine trusted in went to the true Christ, the Catholic God for help. The Catholic God appeared to him in a dream and told him to fight in the standard of the cross, which is a Catholic cross. And he told them, you fight with this standard and you're going to win. I will be with you. So God was working with Constantine even when he was a pagan. So Constantine was not yet a Christian. He was still a pagan, but he started to look. He says, okay, I'll respect you. I'll listen. He did. And he won at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge in 312. And he won that. It was a great victory for Christianity. But my point on this is, at first, he thanked the Catholic God. And Trump even came out in the beginning. Now, the evangelicals don't have the Catholic God. They have a false God, too. But at least they're better off than a lot of other people. And he did come out, Trump, and he said, I don't think I'm worthy for these evangelicals to support me. So Trump, that's a humility on Trump. It was a good thing, he said. He says, I don't think I'm really worthy for your support. I do some bad things, but I'm going to try to be good. So it's sort of like the same thing. He's trying to become a better Christian, even though he's not a Christian yet. He's trying to. You can see it, that he's trying to do that. And my point is, if he really wants to be a true Christian and do the thing all the way, follow what Constantine did. I hope he doesn't follow Constantine in everything, because I'm going to go on with the story and I'm going to tell you what happened. So Constantine started to favor the Catholic God, like Trump is favoring Christianity, and he wanted to do the right thing in that. But he still was a pagan, and he still had some pagan immoralities, and he still had some pagan ways about him. To the point where, when the Catholics wanted to get too assertive in his empire, he started to persecute some of the Catholics. This is even after he had his victory and he was emperor. And he actually arrested Pope St. Sylvester I, not arrested him, but he persecuted him and wanted to arrest him and martyr him. And so Pope St. Sylvester I had to hide in a cave. And then Constantine was given a vision. God struck Constantine with leprosy. And then God said, if you want your leprosy to be cured, go to Pope St. Sylvester in the cave and he'll become a Christian and he'll baptize you and your leprosy will be cured. And that's actually what happened. And then Constantine was cured. And from that moment forward, he became a true Catholic and a good Catholic. And then he served God the rest of his life and was a true hero. That's what I pray for Trump. Trump has the potential to be a Constantine. I'm not flattering him. I'll also condemn him if he doesn't become another Constantine. I'm going to be here to watch, to make sure to help him, and also to warn other people if he's not staying to his plan. But he does have the potential to be a great leader, greater than he can even imagine. And he might imagine it. The evangelicals are probably whispering that to him. But I'm going to tell you, Donald Trump and your evangelicals, they're not even true Christians. You got to listen to me. Catholics. We're the only Catholics I know, and we're teaching true Catholicism. Hence, beware of all nominal Catholics in this world, such as Francis I. You can call him a poop, you can call him a dope, but don't call him the Pope. He's an apostate anti-Pope.
He does not teach nor believe in a full deposited Catholic faith nor live by it. He has more in common with a politically correct, non-judgmental, non-punishmental, extreme lefty liberals. He'll profess a few conservative issues, but for the most part, he's full score in their camp, and he's going to give Trump a lot of trouble. Don't worry about the bum. Let me take care of him. Don't refer to him as a pope. Don't refer to him as Catholic, and that will give you the ability to go after that bum. The great apostasy among Catholics began in 1033 when Satan was released from his pit. See Apocalypse chapter 20, verse 7. And has progressed to the point that there are only 13 true Catholics in the world that I know of. Myself and my 12 Catholic brothers. Do not be shocked at this, because it is we who are fulfilling prophecy. Jesus said it will be so bad just before his second coming that it would seem as if there were no Catholics at all in the whole earth. Luke, he said this as recorded in Luke 18:8. Yet the Son of Man, when he cometh, shall he find, think you, faith on earth? Not even any one good Catholic? Jesus also said that it will be like the days of Noah in these final days, in which only 8 people the whole earth were faithful. Noah and his 7 family members. This is recorded in Matthew 24:37-39. And as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, even to the day in which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. By this alone, you know that all these millions of people calling themselves nominal Catholics cannot be true Catholics. Instead, the faith will reside with only a few, like the days of Noah, us few, us 13, which will grow. But when all is said and done, I do not believe that more than 1% of all mankind will be saved. See my book, The Great Apostasy, my book, The Desecration of Catholic Places, which is also in a video and audio, and my The Great Apostasy webpage. We're the ones you have to listen to if you want to be completely successful. If you want to become like a true Constantine and become a true Catholic and have a hope to save your immortal soul, which is the first thing I care about, but then that would also, God will use you as an instrument and defending his kingdom in these final days. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.